Not all guarantees are created equal. That's what makes the Total Trust Guarantee from Speedy Oil Change and Auto Service so special. It gives you 20/20 vision into the work we do. And now, you can get $10 off any 17-point oil change. Go to speedyoil.com/save for details. Speedy Oil Change and Auto Service, where you're in and out and back on the road with full service and total trust. Most vehicles discount off regular price. See store for details. See website for details on the Total Trust Guarantee.
All right, that time of the week to talk to our friend Eric Burns, NoFilterNetwork.com. Burnsy, what's going on?
What's up, Tommy?
Not a whole heck of a lot. Good, 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 good. I wanted to ask you how you feel about this, because I feel one way. I'm just curious if you feel the same way. But with Tyler Rogers blowing the save last night in L.A., as an athlete, we've all had situations where we felt like, you know, we cost our team the game, or we had just had a bad game overall and thought you could have done better to help the team win. Do you want, as a player, do you want someone to come up to you in that after the game to say, hey, don't worry about it, we'll get in tomorrow? Or do you just want, like, look, I know you guys have my back, we're good, don't worry about it, just kind of leave me alone, let me stew for a little bit, and I'll get back after it tomorrow?
Oh, man. I mean, that's a really difficult question, because I think it kind of depends on where you are in your career. And, you know, it's tough to go up to the guy that just gave up the 3-run homer, and you know that, dude, it's a matter of days before, you know, he's back bagging groceries at whatever local supermarket in his hometown. And I'm not kidding, though. Like, think about the minor leagues.
Yeah.
So you guys are talking about fantasy land in the minor leagues when guys are making millions of dollars. And if they're not making millions, even if they're making a minimum, they're still making over $500,000, and these guys are living the life, right? Mm-hmm. And they're going to be okay. And I'm not saying that the minor league guy is not going to be okay, but you guys have to remember that this is the lifeblood of a lot of these guys. And even guys that get a cup of coffee in the big leagues, and you just know, like, hey, for whatever reason, man, this isn't going to happen, and it's not working up to this point. So to be able to go up there and you know, pat a buddy on the back and just say, yo, man, you know, get him next time. Tommy, you and I have a mutual friend. It's actually a great story, dude. We were in Boise, Idaho, and he just got lit. And I'm talking like, dude, it looked like the 4th of July. Pa, 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 right? And I really enjoyed this guy. And he was one of my better friends on the team. And, you know, we weren't super tight at the time. But he was in the dugout. They had a fireworks show after the game. And he was in the dugout after the game. And he was still kind of sulking. And he's like, man, you know, my girlfriend just broke up with me. And I'm dealing with this. I'm dealing with that. And, you know, just having a tough time coming back from this injury. And I go, look, bro, you're 6'5", 6'6". You throw absolute cheese. I said, you signed out of high school. I'm like, you're younger than me. So I'm like, just chill. I said, you got plenty of time. It's going to come together. It's going to happen. And so he took those words, and he went out, and he ended up having a decent year. And then the next year, it was almost like deja vu all over again, right? We're in San Bernardino. And actually, I take that back. I think it was Rancho Cucamonga, wherever they had the radar gun. But I'm in left field, and I'm leading off. And I was coming up the next inning, whatever it was. But he goes out there again. And however I described the first one, when I say he gave up 7, 8, 9, whatever it was, like, this one was even worse. I mean, this was just, dude, there were loud sounds. It sounded like shotguns going off all over the pow, pow, pow. Dude, it was a track meet in the outfield. I'm running left. I'm running right. I'm trying to dive for balls. Dude, it's 110 degrees out there. I could barely catch my breath. And finally, I come in. And, I just remember getting ready to hit. And I looked at him. And I already gave him that one speech that, like, hey, dude, this is going to be okay. No problem. You know, world's afraid of this and that. And so I looked at him, And he looked at me, and by this time we were like a lot closer. And I go, "Yo, man, I don't know what to say." And he looks back at me. He goes, "You don't know what to say? Seriously?" I go, "Yeah, bro." I said, "You know, there's a lot of hard hit balls out there, and you know, definitely got some exercise, but yeah, I hang with them." And he goes, "Hang with them." He goes, "What's wrong with you?" I go, "Why? What are you talking about?" He goes, "Did you see the radar gun?" I go, "Yeah." He goes, "I just hit 99. And ladies and gentlemen,
oh my God,
that is the legendary Bullet. And that was his name, the Bullet. And I'm dead serious about that. He didn't care that he got lit because he hit 99 on the gun. And it
wow.
kind of has the point, man. You ain't released in 99, right?
Well, especially back then. Now 99, there's like five guys on the staff that are 99.
Yeah, that's a good point, Larry. But yeah, back then, no, nobody was throwing harder, man. That
right.
was it. No, he threw harder than anybody else. And if he went out there and he got shelled, he didn't care. He just knew it was a matter of time before he got his. Now, look, a couple arm injuries later and this and that, but I mean, still one of my best friends for life. Just a legendary character. But it's, I think it's all perspective, because if you think about it, like, you know, really, when you talk about these kids that go out and play and they sign out of high school, there's not a huge fallback plan. And it becomes tough to, you know, say, and especially when it happens two, three, four nights in a row, whether in the big leagues, the minor leagues, in college, in little league, eventually it's like, hey, look, how are we going to fix this? I think that becomes the biggest question. And the funny thing is, because this happened twice in a row, right? C-Shack gave it up, too, like as a submariner. And it's funny about those guys, because when they're off, they're off. It just seems like if their ball flattens out, they're in trouble, because they're not throwing 95 miles per hour typically, unless you were Bing Young Kim in Sacramento when I faced him back in the day. That was the nastiest guy I still ever faced. But, you know, my whole point on that is that I love the submariners. You just have to be careful, because if they don't have it that day, it could get ugly.
I think I remember that game. Walk, blast. That was a lot of fun. I really enjoyed that after Ohtani pitched six scoreless. That's an interesting point you bring up, though. I didn't think about the minor league aspect of that. I was thinking big league, but minor league, yeah, that would make total sense. Hey, do you have any thoughts at all on how to get the excitement and the fun and the juice back in the trade deadline? Because it's not what it used to be. It just isn't. You get a couple names here and there, but even that, no blockbuster trades, no big deals. I've talked about maybe being able to trade draft picks. That might help as well. I don't know why baseball is weird. You can't trade draft picks, which never made any sense to me. But you got any thoughts on that? Like how do we get this back to where it's like anticipated, and then there was a payoff for like 2 or 3 days? You're on Twitter, or you're on your phone, or you're watching the TV because you want to know what the hell is going on. Now you end up like watching your phone. You're like, "Ah, that was anticlimactic." Moving on.
Yeah, I don't know what the answer is to that. I just think that it all has to do with your team, and it's pretty specific to your team. The big blockbuster trade, it doesn't seem like it happens all that often anymore. And if it does, a lot of this stuff is financially motivated. But I just think that if you're whatever it is, a team like the Padres, right, where you're chasing the Giants and the Dodgers, I think there's going to be a little jockeying for position at the trade deadline. And they're literally, I mean, I know it's happened several times before, but basically, you know, and this happened a lot after the waiver trade deadline. And I don't know what the rule on that is now, right now, but one of the reasons why it lost its luster is because, you know, after that, so long as the guy cleared waivers, then you still be able to make the trade, and it went on and on and on. So the real trade deadline wasn't until August 31st, mm-hmm. in which the guy actually had to be on the roster. And then you want to take it a step further. You actually could put a guy on the roster past September 1st. So if there was a team that was out of it, and then they got back in it, and now they're in September, they're only a few games back, they still could acquire somebody. And then I believe the rule was that if somebody got hurt, then they could replace them in the playoffs and, you know, be put on the playoff roster at that point. But I mean, we're talking about this, and, you know, if we get to August 31st and all of a sudden Mike Trout's traded, Tommy, I mean, now would that excite you?
Excuse me?
Is that what you're looking for? You're looking for the Giants to unload Buster Posey for, you know, prospects?
Not exactly.
That'd be the big splash that I doubt we're going to see, right?
No.
Yeah. There's no way. The one thing I know about Artie Moreno, I think he likes stars even more than wins. And so Ohtani will be there long term. Trout is there long term. I mean, he's going to keep the stars because he wants to keep the people coming into the stadium. But it's kind of a weird schedule, Bernsey, in that the Giants are going to be done with the Dodgers at the end of this month, except for one 3-game set in September, and then they have 10 games against the Padres in September. You played in some of those games in September, like those meaningful games against the teams that you're battling. Do those feel different? I know it's just one win in the win column, one loss in the loss column, but when you're playing those games, because I got to imagine, I mean, those Padre-Giant games are going to be intense, and they're going to be meaningful. They're going to mean something, whether it's a division or the wild card or home for wild card. What are those games like? Are they totally different from games played in, let's say, June and July?
Yes, 100%. And even when you're the team that's out of it, I remember playing for the Diamondbacks in 06, and we stayed in it for a while. But by the time we got to the end, like, we were done. And we were playing the Padres, I believe. And it was the Padres and the Dodgers fighting back and forth. And I end up hitting a big home run to win the game. And I'll never forget, like, obviously going to UCLA and having the Southern California connections and everything else. There's one buddy of mine, Brett Nista, a diehard Dodger fan. And he called and he's like, yo, bro, just you let me know, man. Whatever you need this offseason, I got you taken care of. And this is like the biggest authentic Dodger fan ever, right? And he was just so happy. And I do remember, like, literally as this ball is flying out of the ballpark, I'm like, oh, man, San Diego fans are going to be pissed and Dodger fans are going to be happy. And we had nothing to do, right? We had nothing to do with it. And so I always felt there was something about when you went into ballparks, either you got crushed and whatever it was. And I mean, I go to Yankee Stadium. I take that back. Yankee Stadium wasn't really. Boston was tough. But L.A., and I don't know if it was because of that. I doubt it, because it's only the diehard of diehard that will remember stuff like that. But I felt like I always got treated really well in L.A. and had some fun with the fans and whatever. But, yeah, it matters to every team, and it matters to every player, because you're trying to find purpose to motivate you down the stretch. So the great thing about the West this year is that, like, this is going to go back and forth. I mean, you know, here we have the Giants and the Dodgers that are what they're tied in the win column right now. And then what you have is the Padres, who I've never in my life, I guess you could go back to 1984 when Tommy was running around with the chicken head. And you know, whatever, when he's trying to figure out, you know, who he's going to root for, be it the Angels or the Padres, and the Padres are going to the World Series. I mean, when I look back and I see images of 84 and them going nuts at Jack Murphy Stadium and, you know, everything, like, I've never seen a stadium and a fan base collectively a rally around a team like the Padre fans have. They were never like this. And sure, you could try to tell me it was all Trevor Hoffman days and, you know, when they were winning the division, you know, back there, you know, whatever it was, the late 90s. I know it was the World Series in 98. But what I see on a nightly basis in San Diego and what I'm hearing from family and friends down there is that, like, there's a buzz in the air. And I don't know if it has to do with Fernando Tatis Jr. and how good he is and, you know, just the Padres in general or them going back. I would give it credit, obviously, for going back to the brown and gold, which are the most some of the most epic uniforms in the history of Major League Baseball. But right now, being a Padres fan or playing for the Padres, I mean, they're at their absolute height that I've seen in my baseball fandom days.
You were an A. Max Muncy was an A. Do you know Max Muncy at all?
Not at all, Larry.
This guy. So the A's take this guy out of Baylor in 2012. He reaches the major leagues in 2015 with the A's. He played like a third of the season. He hit .206, three home runs. Comes back in 2016. He plays another 50 games in the big leagues. He hits .186. Now he shows up with the Dodgers. He's got 35 home runs, This year he's already got 22. You know, he's a totally different player. What do you see with this guy? How did the A's not get anything out of Muncy and the Dodgers? How can this guy totally change overnight and become one of the National League's more dangerous power hitters?
Well, I think the question becomes like, what do you see in him? I'm going to reverse on
he's
you.
Patient.
What do you
he's
see?
He's pretty patient, and it's like it seems like he's pretty fast inside. Like you can't throw him an inside pitch, and he knows the strike zone, and he kind of jumps all over inside pitches and dead pulls them.
Yeah, but if you're the A's, then you go hit like low 200s, and you hit .150 for me, and I'm looking at this guy out of Baylor that's it's not a top prospect, and he's rolling around with a dad bod. And he's not putting up numbers. What are you going to do with that? I get it. He can barrel up some balls, and I like barrels, and I think barrels are important. But if I'm looking at him as a scout, I'm like, what do we need him for? And so there's certain guys that I think that we could go back and look at, whatever organization it is, whether the A's or the Giants, where you missed on him, right? Like, how did you let that guy go? Like, where? What did you not see that everybody else was seeing? I don't get it. Like Max Muncy, I look at Max Muncy, and this dude's an aberration, man. Right? This guy's not a guy that I look at and I'm like, oh, boom, Aaron Judge, athlete. Right? Like this isn't it. This is a guy I look at that I'm like, hey, man, maybe I'll see him out on my Wednesday night beer league softball with the Dutch Goose. he doesn't look like a perennial all-star big league player. And if you don't look the part and then your numbers don't say the part, then I'm going to part with you. And the A's did. But what happened is he goes to L.A., and I'm sure there's some metrics, this would not surprise me one little bit, that the Dodgers front office, who they have – more analytical sabermetric data, spend more money on it than any other team by far, their analytics department. And they probably liked exactly what you're talking about, Larry, is just being able to control the strike zone, swing at pitches in the zone, chase rates, all these little things that they're going to look at, maybe batting average on balls in play, percentage of hard contact. And you analyze it, you're like, I'll give him a shot. Like, the numbers didn't match up to where he should have been. And then they bring him in. But it wasn't like they brought him in to be the star. They brought him in, and he just happened to get an opportunity. And then you run with it. Because so long as you hit in this game, you're going to play. They're going to find a spot for you in the lineup. Now, the one thing that he surprised me with is his ability to play all over. Right. At first, you looked at him. He's kind of overweight. Maybe a first baseman. I guess you could stick him in a corner outfield if you had to just get by. But I really just looked at him as a slugger. Now, where his value is taken off is that you really can't put him anywhere. I mean, this guy's played a ton of second base and played first. You put him all over. And even as like a youth baseball coach. It was funny because we let them play 11U team, went out to Reno to play in the NCS World Series this past weekend, and it was a four day event, and we had five 11-year-olds, we had five 10-year-olds, and we had Colton, which is my kid, who was 9. And I looked at it before we went there. I'm like, yeah, we're going to be up against it, right? I mean, just from an age perspective. When you're going up against the 11Us now, and a lot of these 11Us have already turned 12U, but I knew and I was very confident in our kids' ability to play. We had, in the 4 pool play games, this is crazy, in the 4 pool play games, we had 11 kids on the roster. We had all 11 kids pitch. We went 4-0 in the pool play games, right? And then we get to the bracket play. And it was the quarterfinal, then it was the semifinal, and then it was the final. And we end up taking this thing down. The only reason why we took this thing down with an underage roster like this to be able to go up there and go against, you know, a couple really good teams is that we had versatile players that did everything. And we may be a little young, but guess what? We were throwing strikes. We were making the plays. We were playing catch. We were putting the ball in play very consistently. And we had guys that we could move all over the field. And we did it almost every inning. And it was like I could have taken all the kids and mumble jumped them. We actually do this thing called position buffet, where it's like, position buffet, go! And everyone runs out to the position, other than the pitcher and catcher. So we have the pitcher and catcher, because you have to manage that and the pitch counts and all the stuff through the course of the tournament. But when you take a guy, and I'm going to wrap it all the way back to Max Muncy, dude, this guy adds value. I mean, he runs the bases. He plays all over the field. He's a lot more versatile than I thought. And I don't think that I didn't see that with the A's. But sometimes you just have to put these kids in a position to succeed. And then not only that, you can't be afraid to try them. I don't think anyone saw Max Muncy as a second baseman, but you put him out there. We have we got Big Mike and we have Aiden, two gigantic 11s. Big Mike wasn't with us this past tournament, but these are left-handed hitting gigantic 11Us that drop absolute bombs. They've both played shortstop for us before.
Is Troy Glaus's Glaus's kid's on this team, isn't he?
Glaus's kid was on our team this weekend. Yes.
Yeah.
He want to talk about some loud sounds, man. He was the first all through pool play. He absolutely slaughtered it. It was an impressive run. It was the best I've seen him yet. But you know, really, but the funny thing is, and then you know, I think I've talked about it with you guys before. You talk about what makes a great team. And what makes a great team at youth level is the same thing that makes a great team at the big league level. It's depth. It's the ability to have guys 1 through 9, or in our case, 1 through 11, that go out there and they fight for outs. They fight for outs on defense. They hoard outs. They fight for outs on offense, where it's like, I'm not giving up an out. If the other team makes a great play, great, cool, congratulations, nice play. You know, center fielder diving in the gap, making a sick play, whatever. But do not give up an out. And that goes back to throwing strikes, making the routine plays. If one of their guys freaking lays into a ball, hits it 270 feet, good, congratulations. That's going to happen. But once again, you want guys that are going to fight for outs top to bottom. They're in the field wanting the ball, wanting to make the play. They're at the dish. They're like, hey, I might not get a hit. I might not get on base. But I'm not giving this up. I'm not going to make it easy on the opposition. So that was, you know, just a little love for the 11U LTP. Let them play Reno team. But
hey,
they were fantastic. I got a nice trophy that says thank you to the boys right here.
Congratulations. You got about 20 seconds to let us know what's going on. No filter tonight.
If you missed it last week, don't miss it this week. 6:00, Will Clark from his garage in Prairie View, Louisiana, taking nice wax off a tee, pulling up kids, pulling up adult league softball players, whatever it is, like interactive live stream, people asking thrill questions. I'll monitor the whole thing, try to stay out of the way, not screw anything up. But this was some of the best content we've ever produced on No Filter. We're going to run with it. We're going to do it again. We're going to lead you all the way up until the Giants and Dodgers game and maybe even into it. But he's, he is a hitting genius. I don't think there's any other way to put it. Like the way he looks at hitting, the way he thinks about it, the way he talks about it, the way he talks about approach, you could see how and why he had the success that he did. So anyone baseball related, like if you're a diehard baseball fan, if you're a baseball coach or you're a baseball player, in my opinion, this is just must-watch content. So it's at nofilter.net. It's go there, reserve a spot in live stream. Don't be afraid to, if you have a question, fire away in the chat. If you're feeling brave and you want to show thrill your swing, hit the knock button, and we'll let you into the broadcast. You hop on the screen with us, and you can have thrill analyze your swing. It's one of the coolest things that, once again, I think we've by far like ever done on No Filter.
No, very that's cool. Super cool. You're going to learn something, and Will's damn funny, too. So it'll be a good time had by nofilter.net in about 5 minutes, actually. So we got to get going. You better get going, Bernsy. We'll talk to you soon, man.
All right, dude. Talk to you next week.
Later. See you, Eric.
Not all guarantees are created equal. That's what makes the Total Trust Guarantee from Speedy Oil Change and Auto Service so special. It gives you 20/20 vision into the work we do. And now, you can get $10 off any 17-point oil change. Go to speedyoil.com/save for details. Speedy Oil Change and Auto Service, where you're in and out and back on the road with full service and total trust. Most vehicles discount off regular price. See store for details. See website for details on the Total Trust Guarantee.